All right, staying intimate. Staying intimate. I want to close with this one because, friends, this is the heart of everything, isn't it? You know, Seventh-day Adventists, we are preparing for the coming of Christ. And being intimate with Christ is the one work that some responsibility falls on us. Everything else we have to let Christ change. But there's one thing, I've only been able to find one thing that he won't do. What is it? He won't open the door. He won't open the door. That we must do. And how often do we need to do it? Very frequently. In fact, we need to do it every time we hear the knocking. Because the knocking means he slipped just out a little bit. And then you hear the knocking. Are you going to let me back in? How long are you going to leave me out here? It's cold out here. After all, this is Nova Scotia. He wants in. And he'll let you know he wants in. Now, what is the knocking? What is the knocking? It's so easy, friends. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So the knocking is whenever those are missing. Spirit in, Jesus in, right? Spirit in, love, joy, peace. Spirit a little distance, not far, real close, still with you, but maybe not in the way you want him to be. Love, joy, peace begin to sag. You with me? So that's the knocking. That's the knocking. What do you need to do as soon as love, joy, peace start sagging? Oh, Jesus, you're out on the front porch again, aren't you? I hear your voice. You're ready to come in through your Holy Spirit, and you're ready to take possession of my heart again. And when you do, I have peace, and I can love people around me again, and I even have happiness. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. This is a peace which does not depend on circumstances. The other day, I got into a hassle with the federal government. That's so easy to do in the United States. So easy to do because I had to correct something with, government red tape stuff. And I let myself get all stressed. I took my eyes off Jesus. And I start feeling paranoid, and I start feeling persecuted, and I start feeling upset because it's so unjust, and I start feeling like Big Brother is, you know, Big Brother, and I just am upset. But because I've been learning this stuff, I said, oh, I'm not happy right now. That's you knocking, isn't it? That's you knocking. Okay, Jesus. Come in and bring your peace with you. Come into this part of my brain and every other part you want to, because I want you. This part of my brain where I'm all upset. And give me peace. And let me see the truth, which is this. Oh, ye of little faith, who do you think's in this boat with you anyway? I'm going to work all this out. Oh, that's right, isn't it? Thank you for your peace, dear Lord. Thank you for your peace. So remaining intimate with the Lord is responding to the knocking. This has nothing to do with the Fox sisters in northern New York. This is the Holy Spirit knocking on our heart. Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Finding God's love in prayer and praise. All right, I want you to see in Daniel 10, when he said this, remember Daniel just fainted with horror at the vision he had just seen. And when he said this, I stared at the ground speechless. And the angel, who looked like a human, reached out and touched my lips. And I said to him, "Sir, this vision makes me so weak that I cannot stop trembling. I'm like a slave standing before his master. How can I talk to you? I have no strength or breath left in me." Once more he took hold of me, and then I felt stronger. And he said, "God loves you, Daniel. So don't let anything worry you or frighten you." When he said this, I felt even stronger and said, "Sir, tell me what you have to say. You have made me feel better." I just love Daniel. I have a hard time identifying with Daniel because he's so holy, but I love his relationship to God, don't you? What a beautiful relationship. And what did the Lord say to him? "God loves you. God loves you." And then he just touched him. Does he ever touch you? See, this is what you should expect. When you're intimate with God, you expect this. You expect this awareness of God's love for you to flood you. You expect his strengthening touch to touch you. Maybe strengthening in any number of ways, but I find that it's even strengthening physically. I'm serious. I'm getting fairly old now. I shouldn't say that because some of you are senior to me. That may be making you feel bad, so please forgive me. But I'm constantly reminded by my younger friends that I'm ancient. It's one of the downsides of getting a little older. "Oh, you're old." Like that's my natural state. I was just as young and beautiful as you very recently. Wasn't it really recent? Yeah. I still look in the mirror and I'm amazed. Who's that guy? But I must admit, you know, this getting older thing has some advantages in that I can feel the strengthening touch of the Lord. Even this morning, and I was a little weary from yesterday, and I thought, "Oh, Lord." And he said, "I've got it. I've got you." And I literally could feel him touching me. And it wasn't like, you know, on my skin, but I mean, I could feel his spirit just coming in and getting me up, clearing my head, and saying, "I'm doing this, not you. Let's just do it. I love you." Oh. See, those things are not just for Daniel, are they? They're for you. It's the way he works with all of us. So, there's two kinds of prayer. Prayer is something that we do from time to time, or is it companionship with Jesus? Well, it's both. The prayer team gets together and does the time-to-time prayer where we focus on various issues that we have in common, or we focus, you know, even on our own needs, but we focus on specific prayer, things that ought to be prayed about that maybe haven't had enough, you know, we haven't submitted them to God yet. But then there's the prayer without ceasing. That's the other kind of prayer, which actually is all the time. It's actually all the time. And whenever it does stop is when pretty soon we find Jesus on the porch. Okay? And we hear the knocking. Because it's the prayer without ceasing, that communion with Christ, that is our constant sustaining of the Lord's power in our lives. So if I have companionship with Jesus, I will be praying without ceasing. That's what that companionship is. Then my seasons of prayer will also be much more fruitful. See, because he says both things. When he says, if we abide in Christ, then we'll pray for whatever we want and we'll get it. So in other words, if I'm having communion, prayer without ceasing all the time, then when I come to my prayer season, my faith is strong. Jesus and me are in love. And I come into that prayer season with great faith and confidence that the Lord is ready to hear my specific requests and answer them. So you see how that works, don't you? It's so wonderful. And you can always tell when you have a prayer meeting who's coming in already in the prayer without ceasing and who's coming in with Jesus on the front porch. It's just a different spirit. And you can tell. You can tell. It's okay. We can all catch up and he'll hear our prayers. We can all get going. It's fine. Don't let anybody be held back from prayer ever. I can even tell it at the hospital bed when I'm visiting my patients. Some of them have already been talking to the Lord. I can tell right away. Sometimes they even say that. I say, would you like me to pray with you? And they say, well, I've just been praying now. But yes, let's pray together. Once in a while, and it's so sweet when it happens, a patient prays for me. And I just love that. I just love that. But it's just great. It's just great to enter into a season of prayer when you've already been praying without ceasing. And it's just very powerful. Okay. But you, whenever you pray, enter into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. Which kind of prayer is this? That's the season of prayer, right? Not the prayer without ceasing. Otherwise, you'd have to live in your closet. No. We don't want to live in our closets. I actually knew a gentleman who took that closet thing seriously. You know, that's just old English, which means your room that has a door on it. That's all it means. It can be any room that has a door on it, that you can be private. That's all it means, your private space. You can go out in the woods and have a closet because it's your private space where you know nobody else is listening in. And then he says, pray. I like to pray out loud. One person said, don't pray out loud. The devil's going to hear what you're praying about, and they can intervene. You think they can intervene between me and Jesus? I like to pray out loud because it helps me stay focused on what I'm praying about. You know, our minds wander. We're so weak. The Lord forgives us a million times over for being so absent-minded. It's just awful how absent-minded we are. I'll be praying along, and all of a sudden I'll think about, I wonder how I'm going to get that bolt out. It's ridiculous. And then I'll have to bring my mind back. Oh, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with me. Here I am before the Almighty, and you are so wonderful. And I slip over to that. What's for lunch? So, he is so merciful, and he loves us so much, and he knows our condition so well, but that doesn't trouble him. So we ask him, and the Lord who sees everything will also reward us, but not secretly. He will reward us openly. And people will say, you're so blessed. Why are you so blessed? And if we tell them the truth, which we must, if we give a straight testimony, we will say, it's God. It's all God. He always takes care of me. He treats me so much better than I deserve to be treated. It's always God. Yes. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. That's the other kind of prayer. That's the prayer without ceasing prayer. When we're living in grace, when we're living in communion through the Holy Spirit. And Paul wants everybody to have that because that is Christianity at its fullest. And that's what he wants us to have all the time. You can be a Christian. You can be a nominal Christian. You can be a political Christian. You can be an active Christian, going to church, paying your tithes and offerings. You can be a praying Christian. There's all these degrees of Christianity. Or you can be a communing Christian. That's as far as you can get until the sealing time when the law is fully written in your mind and heart. You can be a communing Christian. And that's what I strive to be. And am I perfect at it yet? No. Do not put me on a pedestal. I hate pedestals. I get very dizzy up there. And besides that, when you decide that I don't deserve to be there and you knock me down, it really hurts. So I'd rather not be on a pedestal. I am telling you the things I'm learning, not the things I've mastered. But communing is fun. It's really fun. And frankly, I'll tell you what, the more you commune, the more you don't want your communing to be interrupted. And what might interrupt your communing? A lot of media interrupts your communing. Not all of it. There's some that actually might help you along with your communing. But a lot of media does interrupt your communing. And the more sensitive you become to the Spirit's presence in your life, Jesus' presence in your life through the Spirit, the more that feels like an interruption. And you might think, but this is very interesting, but this is very entertaining, but this is innocent, and it might even be innocent, but yet if it's too distracting from the communion you have with Christ, it starts to be an interruption. And you just start not wanting it, really. And that's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. When communion with Christ is not something you have occasionally, but becomes more and more something you just never want to lose. That's beautiful. And I guarantee you that just happens. If you do it occasionally and you continually work on increasing that, it starts to become an evolutionary thing where it increases itself. Because the more you have, the more you like it. The more you like it, the more you want it. The more you want it, the more you don't want it to be interrupted. And anyway, it keeps growing. So we end up with this beautiful experience Paul prayed for us to have. He prayed that we would all have the communion of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5, he tells us how to help ourselves be in this communing state all the time. He tells us to rejoice always and to pray without ceasing. And by pray without ceasing, he doesn't mean like we do in those seasons of prayer. I had a friend. He's still my friend. But he had a nervous breakdown. Do you know when he had a nervous breakdown? He was such a sincere Christian that he was trying to pray without ceasing in the way that we have seasons of prayer. So he was standing at the bank teller window, and he's trying to keep the thought in mind that he's talking to God about, the specific, you know, thing that he's trying to talk to God about, while he's trying to count out his money and finish his deposit, and he literally had a breakdown on the spot and collapsed mentally and couldn't complete his transaction and was barely able to walk out of there. And I remember him coming to stay with us for a few months. We literally had to nurse him back to health by taking him on long walks in nature and feeding him really healthy food and teaching him that God is with him and he can be visiting with God in a less focused way without losing his touch with God. All right? And so, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. These two go together. Paul put them together, the Holy Spirit put them together because they go together really amazingly. Now, we're going to talk more about the praying without ceasing. First, if you are thirsty, Isaiah was told to write, come and drink water. Who's the water? Jesus. So the prayer without ceasing is an awareness of our need for Jesus and a kind of an ongoing conscious awareness that I'm living by Jesus. It's just a background awareness that I'm not alone, that I'm not doing this by myself, that this isn't the life, it's Christ living in me, it's not me on my own. And that background awareness of drinking that water. If you don't have any money, come. Eat what you want. In other words, this is available to anybody, right? Absolutely everybody. It's totally free. You can have it if you're in jail. You can have it if you're in the courtroom. You can have it even to a degree, depending on how soused you are when you're under the influence. I wouldn't have believed this except one time. I had a very drunk man call me up. Pastor! You know how drunks can get, you know. Some drunks. They get all weepy and all repentant, you know. Oh, Pastor, I've had this problem with alcohol so long, and today I'm just sick to death of it. And I could tell he was drunk at the time, you know. And I'm thinking, how far are we going to get with this guy? He's not even in his right mind right now. And I want you to come over and pray with me because this is just, I've just got to change, and I'm ready to change, and God loves me, I know, and I just want to change. Well, I'm the pastor. I can't say no. I can't say, well, as soon as you sober up, I'll come over. I just went over. And he was still a little less drunk, but still pretty bad. How I got there, and so we knelt down together side by side. I put my arm around him. And he prayed one of those blubbering, tearful prayers, which I had no idea whether it was the alcohol talking or his own heart confessing. Good thing I don't have to be the judge, huh? God knows all those things. And I prayed for him too. I want you to know that man never drank again after that day. Never drank again after that day. God, how could you do that? Because I can hear your prayers all the time. If you can talk to me, I can hear you. If you can talk to me silently, I can hear you. If you can talk to me out loud, I can hear you. I'm listening. I'm not judging what condition you're in. If you have enough presence of mind to talk to me, I'm listening. Amen? Oh, this is good news. Such good news. Why waste your money on what really isn't food? Why work hard for something that doesn't satisfy? In other words, when we're looking for this communing prayer, we are acknowledging that we're not satisfied with what everything else. Nothing else is fully satisfying us. See, if we're acting like our car craze or our sports craze or our sex craze or our business craze or our restoring old homes craze or whatever it may be is totally satisfying us. And I see people in this pretense very frequently and working themselves up to this great enthusiasm with the help of a little alcohol usually. And I just love my hobbies and I just love what I'm doing and I'm so satisfied with my life. And they're not. But if we will admit that we're not, Lord, none of this stuff I have to do every day just to keep myself going is meeting my need. Only you can meet my need. You get it? So this prayer without ceasing comes out as we are constantly discontented with the world. You think that's a negative outlook? No, because I am contented with Jesus Christ. And then he gives me a view of the world which is realistic, but also I can find things to praise as well. So this general discontentment with the things of this world precedes our really entering into a constant communion. And so pray for that. You know that beautiful song we sing, "The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." And so we seek that glory and grace. If the things of the earth are looking pretty bright and beautiful to us, then it's time to say, "Lord, let me see the real state of my heart and let me long for what only you can provide." And then pay close attention. Pay close attention. If you aren't seeking this communing prayer, guess who is? Jesus is. He's constantly seeking with that. That's why he says, if you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Now, here's the beautiful thing. You can open the door many times every day. I told you yesterday, start the day by opening the door. But if you lose your peace somewhere along the way and you hear the knocking, just open it again. And it's as simple as talking to him. This is the great thing about salvation, friends. Jesus has done all the difficult work. All I have to do is say something. I say, "I hear you knocking, come in." I say, "I'm not perfectly happy, come in." I say, "I'm not at peace right now, come in." I just say something about my life. "Lord, I'm going through this and I'm going through that." Just saying that gives him permission to come in. You see, it's really simple. He's made it so simple. It's salvation for dummies. It's wonderful. If you are tired from carrying heavy burdens, just come. Talk to me. Say, "Lord, I'm tired." He's there. He's inside. Just like that. You're communing with him. And he's touching you. And he's giving you rest. Take the yoke of fellowship with Jesus. That's what the yoke really is. I used to think that the yoke was the law. And that's not a wrong interpretation, of course. Because he does put the character of God upon us as we fellowship with him. And the character of God is not a heavy burden once we see it that way. It's lovely. But the initial thing that we get in that yoke is communion with Christ. And that unites us with him as a yoke unites two animals. And then he says, you'll find my companionship is really sweet because I'm very gentle. I haven't always thought of God as gentle, have you? But if Jesus is gentle, who else is gentle? The Father is gentle. He says, because I'm gentle. I'm very gentle. I have a little grandson. He picks up a frog. I say, now be gentle. The frog is getting a little squeezed. Be gentle. The frog goes into his pocket. The frog might not like it in there. You need to be gentle with God's creatures. And the poor frog comes out dangling. Oh, you weren't gentle, were you? See, because God is always gentle with his children. That's the character of God we see in Jesus Christ. You say, well, he's been pretty hard on me sometimes. Oh, no, sometimes he lets the devil be a little bit hard on you. He's always gentle. If he ever lets the devil be hard on you, it's because it's the only way he can get you to open up to him again. He will never let you have any challenges that aren't required for either your salvation or somebody else's. So we have to be willing to bear those as well. But again, with Jesus, even those seem gentle. This yoke is easy to bear, and this burden is light. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. So there's some building up to do. And how do we do that building up? Talk to him. Open the door. Say yes. Invite him. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What? I thought I was loved all the time. Oh, you are loved all the time. Keep yourselves in the love of God. This is the only work that we can do. He does all the rest. The only work we can do is to keep opening the door to his love. Are you with me? Are you with the Word of God? Do you see this? This is the practical side of Christ our righteousness. This is the part that you can do. You've all been wanting to do something. You've been working on your salvation for a long time. You've been flogging yourself to come to church even when it's so boring because you knew you had to in order to be saved. You've convinced yourself to pay tithe even when you didn't really want to because it's necessary for salvation. Oh, we love works. We just love works. And then when we do them, I just don't understand what's wrong with those folks. Whenever you're doing the works yourself, you become critical. Every time. A critical person is a sure sign that they're doing the works themselves. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. I love that. Isn't that an important phrase? Are you going to remember that phrase? Don't forget that phrase. Because God will not force his love upon you. You hear me? The sunshine is shining. It's brilliantly shining. But we are in here. We have to choose to go out into the sunshine. It's there for us. It's free. It's ready for everybody. But we got to go out there if we want it. So this is our only work. How hard can that be? That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you in order that you also may have fellowship with us. Here's another gorgeous thing. When we're having fellowship with Jesus, guess who else we're having fellowship with? Every other person that's having fellowship with Jesus. It's so magnificent. This is what the church should be. There would never be another fight in the board meeting because everyone would be fellowshipping with Christ and we would have fellowship with one another then, and the same Spirit would pervade us, and oh, friends, this is where the church is supposed to be. Let's make sure it's not failing to reach that standard just because of me. All right, just because of yourself. Indeed, he says, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? For years, I thought that Jesus loved me, but the Father might be a little bit upset with me. And then I came to realize that they have exactly the same mind. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. I only do what the Father tells me to do. I'm always doing the Father's works. These are all the things Jesus says in the Gospel of John, which he doesn't say anyplace else. In other words, I and the Father are one, which means of one mind. And so we have fellowship with Jesus, we have fellowship with the Father, and obviously this fellowship is through the Holy Spirit, so we're having fellowship with the Spirit also. The whole Trinity is now connected with us. And that way, when we're really in communion prayer, we're no longer one, we are four. Isn't that amazing? And guess what? Four is a very stable platform. Right? Very stable platform. These things we write to you that our joy, that our joy, because he wants to be happy for the church. And he says, my joy will be fulfilled if you have this communion. Stay joined to me. It's a choice. It's a decision we can make. It's the one thing we can do. And let my teachings become part of you. Let this happen. Don't you just love that? Let this happen. So what am I doing? I'm reading the Gospels. I'm opening my mind to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I'm letting Jesus pervade my thoughts. Then you can pray for whatever you want. That's that same promise. For abiding in Christ and for communing with him moment by moment, then our specific prayer seasons will be powerful. And your prayers will be answered. Through every prayer and petition, Ephesians 6 says, praying in every season in the Spirit, being watchful to the same thing with all perseverance and petition. If there's anything we need to persevere in, friends, and we've been taught to persevere in many things, persevere in the avoidance of too much fat, persevere in the avoidance of too much sugar, persevere in the avoidance of too much loss of your temper. Persevere in the avoidance of too much selfishness. On and on. Friends, there's one thing that will bear fruit if we persevere. And that is what? In praying in the Spirit, communing with Christ. That's where our perseverance will really pay off. He says, if you abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. Fellowship with Jesus will cause us to see everything in the light of the question, how does this affect my fellowship with Jesus? Can we share this activity, Jesus and me? What about this music, this movie, this book? Can we do it together? What will Jesus say? Do you like this? Do you want to think like these people do? I don't think like these people do or want to. Will you have my fellowship or the fellowship of darkness? Now, you don't lose your salvation and your connection with Jesus the instant that you aren't communing, but oh, how much we do lose. If we claim that we have fellowship with him while we're walking in darkness, we're lying. Wow. Isn't that interesting? For in union with Christ, you have become rich in all things. Now, look at this. Look at the promises that come out of this communion. You're rich in speech and knowledge. How many of you have wanted to be able to talk about God more effectively? When you're in communion, that's a promise to you. He will also keep you firm to the end. Oh, stay in communion because that way you're going to end up on the right side. Oh, that's a great promise, isn't it? So that you'll be faultless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. How? Faultless! There's another judgment passage. Man, that's beautiful. God is to be trusted. The God who called you to have what? Fellowship. His whole purpose in allowing sin to happen and allowing Jesus to come and die for us was to achieve something he's wanted since the beginning of time, if time has a beginning. And what is that thing he's wanted? He's wanted to have creatures whom he could take into his own family to become one with the Trinity. He wanted to share himself more fully than just bestowing perfection on them like he did Adam and Eve. Now he wanted to give them the communion of the Spirit. Oh, here we are, the lowest of all his intelligent creatures in the universe. But through our very experience, he intends to elevate us to his closest companions. His closest companions. Watch, therefore, praying how often? Always in this communing way, that you may be counted worthy to escape everything that is about to happen and to stand before the Son of Man. Well, that's what it's all about, isn't it? So, evidence of continual prayer and fellowship with Jesus, happiness and peace, easy and pleasurable obedience, answered prayers, drawing people around you to Jesus, and faithfulness to the end are all consequences of this abiding life. In abiding, we are following Jesus. Jesus himself was abiding always in communion with his Father. Jesus told the people, "I tell you for certain that the Son cannot do anything on his own." Why should we think we could? He could not do anything on his own. He can do only what he sees the Father doing. By the way, the only person who wrote this down was John. God gave John the last word because he saw the plan of salvation more clearly than anyone else. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, and he does exactly what he sees the Father do. And that's exactly what we want to do with Jesus. Rejoice always and pray without ceasing. I'm going to say a little bit about the rejoicing. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. Do you have joy? And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have what? My joy fulfilling them. This is Jesus saying this in John 15 and John 17. I want you to have joy. Every good gift and every perfect present comes from heaven. It comes down from God, the creator of the heavenly lights, who does not change or cause darkness by turning. Praise, continual praise, goes with continual communion. There are just two parts to continual communion. Talking with him about ourselves and our lives so that we can let him into everything. But also, we talk to him about himself. That's what praise is. We talk to him about himself. And what do we have to tell him about himself? Oh, friends, on every hand we have things to talk to him. That's what he taught me that day. I was just screaming at him and saying, "God, change my life or I don't want to live anymore." And he taught me, "Praise me. Talk to me about me. What do you know about me?" Oh, God, this is such a comfortable place to have a meeting. The color on the walls, dear Lord. How many perfect gifts come down from the Father? Every one. I don't care who masterminded the stone on this fireplace that's so beautiful. It's a gift from God. Lord, that's lovely stonework. Just sitting here and having it as a backdrop. It's just pleasant. It just gives me a better atmosphere for thinking holy thoughts. Father, thank you for those gigantic waves. And thank you for saying to the sea, "Thus far and no further." Isn't that what he said? Yeah. Thank you for that fresh wind which has swept away every tiny bit of pollen, and I'm not sneezing today. Thank you, Lord. The North Atlantic is good for something. Oh, fresh air. Cannot tell you what a boon that is. I live in the most polluted part of the United States of America, the Central Valley of California. What's it polluted with? Agriculture. All the things agriculture implies: dust, bug spray, pollen and weed killer and fertilizers. Yes. Every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven. It comes down from God. Oh, Lord, that is the neatest lighthouse over there. And thank you so much for these tables, which will soon be carrying our lunch. If this guy would just shut up. And thank you so much for these dear people, Lord. People who, like me, are just wanting you to be just filling them up with your peace and joy. Oh, Lord. Are there things to praise God for? An endless supply. And I've gotten into the habit. Now, I've been practicing this for some 15 years. And I've gotten in the habit of thanking Him. Just thanking Him. I get in the warm shower and I say, oh, this is nice, Lord. Thank you so much. I realize that 75% of the world's population will never experience a warm shower. And I am so blessed. Oh, thank you. And Lord, thank you for this underarm deodorant. My friends appreciate this so much. And thank you so very much, dear Lord, for this beautiful razor blade that I have. That it's a throwaway razor blade, and I only have to use it until it gets not sharp anymore, and I can just toss it out. I realize that 80% of the world's population will never have a disposable razor blade. And I'm so grateful for this blessing. But even the people that live in Africa have found plenty of things to thank God for. Because they can thank Him for the banana tree that's growing right there, and the mango tree that's growing right there. And they can thank Him for the goats that are wandering around in their yard, providing them with dung for their fires to cook on. And they have many things to thank the Lord for. So every good and perfect gift comes from God. And as we praise the Lord, it puts us in the mind of talking to God about the other stuff. So it is the perfect companion to communion and the perfect vestibule to praying without ceasing. And I encourage you to get in the habit of praise. Will you? Will you? Yeah. Hear yourself when you're being negative and say, shut up, my soul. God is good. Oh, look at what He's done right now. He's so good. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again. I say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in His love for you. He will joy over you with singing. This is the testimony of the Lord. He desires us to bear to the world. He's rejoicing over us, dear friends. Shall we rejoice over Him? Shall we? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus Christ, our constant companion, the Savior of our souls, and the one whose life is the cleansing agent by which we shall obey you forever and ever. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.